Awesome. Well, exciting things are ahead, and we're going to hear a little bit more about what's coming up this summer from Pastor Ryan and Pastor Travis here in a few minutes. But this morning, we're just going to, like I said before, celebrate what God has been doing over the past year, and we want to filter that through our vision here at Centerpoint, which is to become more like Christ in all of life through worship, fellowship, and service. And so this morning, I just want to talk with you a little bit about worship and God's desire for how we are to worship and what that means for us both individually and corporately. And so I just want to share a passage with you that I feel like is fundamental in Scripture that tells us how God desires us to worship. And it comes from John 4, 23 through 24. And it says this: "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Has anyone heard that verse before? Pretty popular, right? But I love this passage in these two verses that just lets us know God's desire for our worship and how we are to model worship in this world. To begin to understand what this means, I think we have to have an overarching understanding of what worship is. And so I asked a couple of our worship team members to share with me just their personal definition of worship. And I love what Franco Lezameta shared with me. Franco plays bass with us on Sunday mornings, and it's just an awesome thing. Yeah, go ahead. We love the Lezameta family, and having them part of our family over the past year has been such a blessing, and Franco has been such a blessing to the team. But wanted to share with you what he said, because I think it's really great. He says, "I believe worship to be the expression of an intimate relationship with God. I think worship is a lifestyle, and it is expressed in all moments, all the time, or at least it should be. As I meditated on this, I came to this passage: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And that's from Colossians 3, 15 through 17. But Franco says, "We come to this realization and understanding after spending time in the presence of God by praying and reading and meditating on his word. Worship does involve singing, but it is also a lifestyle. Your thoughts, your actions, your words, your thinking, all that should be an expression of worship to God." So worship is life, and it's singing, but it's more. And so I just want us to keep that in the back of our minds as we continue to talk about the John passage this morning. And I just want to break down those two words, what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. First of all, I love that this passage doesn't say we worship with either or. It connects those two words with and God desires us to worship in spirit and in truth simultaneously. So what does it mean for us to worship in spirit? I believe that our spirit is the core of who we are. You know, we read in the John passage that I just read earlier that God is spirit and we are made in his image. And so as we worship, we need to move beyond the physical. And so to worship in spirit, I believe, is a heart posture. Our worship first and foremost starts with that of the heart. And it says, if our worship doesn't come from the heart, it's just pointless noise. That was a quote that I read this week. It's just pointless noise if our worship doesn't start with the heart. And so out of our heart comes the physical. It moves us into action. Our worship turns into action. But I think that's important for us to realize that worshiping in spirit first starts with a heart posture. Secondly, to worship in truth. What does that mean for us? I think worshiping in truth is to worship it with what we believe about God, about who he is and what he does and why he is worthy of our worship. Saeed Suarez plays acoustic with us on Sunday mornings. You guys see Saeed up here every week, and he has been a blessing to the team as well. Yeah. And he actually shared a definition of worship with me this week that I felt like really played well into worshiping in truth. And he says this: "I think worship is connected to our knowledge of God's love and attributes, and sometimes is defined not by words, but by our attitude when facing certain circumstances." And so as we worship in truth and declare the truth about who we believe God to be with our heads, I think that worshiping in truth also includes the truth about our circumstances. You know, we come into worship and it's so easy and we're eager to worship God when we're experiencing joy in life. But I think God also desires our worship when we're experiencing heartache. And it's not that we come in and we ignore our hurt or our pain, but we come in with an attitude of praise before the fact, before the circumstance. And so God is desiring us to have a heart of worship, worshiping in spirit. And he is desiring us to have a knowledge of him, to study him, and know his character, that in the midst of our circumstances do not define who God is, but in the midst of the truth of our circumstances, we can declare the truth we believe about him. Amen? So what does this mean for us both individually and corporately? I wholeheartedly believe that to seek the heart of God and to know the heart of God has to start with us as individuals. It has to start with us in our own walks of life with the Lord and our relationship with him. You know, we can't expect to come and to worship corporately and know the heart of God second-handedly from someone else. We can't expect to come into corporate worship and have this amazing experience and deep connection with the Lord if we've given our value and worth to something or someone else in our lives between Sundays. And so corporate worship then is meant for us to come together because God is doing new things in our life and we are experiencing him in our own walks, our own families, our own communities. And we come together as a body to celebrate those new things because worship is never meant to be stagnant. Our God is an ever-moving God and worship is always supposed to be moving, always supposed to be growing. And we are supposed to be doing that as individuals so that when we come together corporately, we're celebrating and we're encouraging each other and we're unified in that. As we just continue to seek the heart of God through worshiping in spirit and in truth, I think it's also important for us to remember that it's not just us. We aren't just living in this bubble of, okay, well, I think I have it. But we're to bring the next generation alongside us and help them to fall in love with Jesus just like we have. And so I just wanted to share with you, this past year, we've really tried to be intentional as a worship team and as a staff to just bring alongside our young people, our younger generation, our kids, and our youth into what's going on, especially in the corporate setting and also just in our individual walks. But a couple things that I think are exciting that we have started and want to continue to do in the coming year is a couple of us on the worship team have been able to go back into our youth services on Wednesday night and just lead worship and worship alongside of them. And it's just been a really, really powerful time to just be able to experience God in their setting where they feel comfortable and also just to bridge kind of a gap that maybe they feel on Sunday mornings. And so we're really looking forward to doing that more and being more a part of youth in the back. In the youth room, but as well, we've on Sunday mornings in our worship gathering, I think you guys have seen even last week, we had our kids up here and they were singing with us, and we've just really been trying to be intentional about involving our children, involving our youth in what's happening in our worship gathering here on Sundays so that they feel a part, they feel active. They're not just on the sidelines seeing this is what big church looks like, but we bring them in and we have them take ownership in what God is doing in and through the life of our church. So that's been really exciting over the past year, and just look forward to seeing how God is going to continue to use the next generation. I just want us to be encouraged today over as we look past over the year of how God has really moved both in corporate worship as a church and also in our individual lives. No doubt that he is faithful and we can just give him the glory and the honor that he is due. And I also just want to challenge us that as we move forward into the coming year, may we continue to seek the heart of God, both individually and corporately as a church body, as we worship him truly in spirit and in truth. He is faithful. Amen. And may we be a faithful people of worshipers. Thank you all.
Good morning, everyone. We have this hope as a church through our mission and our vision. And the hope is very simple. It's very simple to say, and it's maybe a little less simple to live out and to see lived out in the lives of people. And so that hope, you actually, you see it when you come in the worship center doors. If you picked up your annual report or your worship folder this morning, you see that hope in the front page of your worship folder. And it's simply this, that as a church, we would see people becoming more like Jesus Christ each and every day in every area of life. And as a church, we go under this conviction. A gentleman by the name of Ray Anderson, he wrote, everything we do in Christian ministry says something about Christ. And so if you look at the life of Christ, you don't see an individual who came to earth and started grabbing people by the wrist or by the arm and demanding of them to come or to go with him. Instead, you found this figure who invited people, who said, well, would you come with me? Well, you want to go with me. Why don't we go do this together? And so I just want to tell you today as your pastor, that's the posture we want to take as a church. You don't force anyone into a relationship with God, and a contrived relationship with God's not going to last anyway. The hope is that some way, somehow, through very intentional efforts and through some of the unintentional seeds that are planted through the lives of people, that people are becoming more like Jesus through the life and ministry of Center Point Church. There are three ways that we've identified that we hope to see that happen. Through very intentional practices as a community, as a church. One is worship, which Pastor Alyssa was just speaking about. The second one is fellowship. I want to speak just real quickly this morning about fellowship. First of all, I want to give a huge shout out and thanks to all my community group leaders, all my community group hosts, all my community group committed members. So if you're out there today, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that's happening across the life of our community groups. Our community groups, again, are very simple. The idea is that we carry this conviction that God does not intend for us to live life alone. God does not intend for us to be on this journey called the Christian walk and to be doing it alone. His intent for us, his hope for us, is that we do it together. We go together. We live life together. As Pastor Alyssa just shared, we go through joyful times together, and then we walk the deep, dark valleys together. It would be terrible, 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 terrible for somebody to be a part of Center Point Church and to not know others and to not be known by others. And so I would say to you today, the hope of the community group, again, is not to form some type of contrived relationship where, hey, we helped you find friends. No, it's that you do find genuine community and fellowship with other people who are also trying to become more like Jesus in all of life, so that along the way, the two of you can sharpen one another, or a group of men in a community group, a group of women in a community group can help each other, a group of parents can help each other be the best parents they can be, a group of grandparents can help each other be the best grandparents they can be, and that maybe even somewhere along the lines, the generational lines will fall, and maybe a grandparent will help a mom be the best mom she can be, and on and on and on. And so as we live life together, the hope is that we are becoming more like Christ, and that one of the ways we're becoming like Jesus is through fellowship and living life with one another. Now, the truth is, though, is there are other ways that we're going to be moving towards in the future to help connect people. I had a great opportunity this past year. Some of the highlights of my year have to do with discipleship in my own life as it relates to interactions with our church board, and also interactions with a group of men that I got to spend some time with at Central Care Mission over this past year. But one of the highlights this year for me was taking our board through a book called Missional Renaissance. If you open up your annual report, you'll see scattered quotes by a gentleman named Reggie McNeil. All of those quotes are from his book, Missional Renaissance. And here's the thing. We didn't sit down with this book so as to take it hook, line, and sinker and say, hey, whatever this guy says in this book, this is what we're going to do at Center Point. No, the hope became that some way, somehow, this book would challenge us in our discipleship and challenge us in our walk with Christ. And so about halfway through this book study, I simply asked the board the question, are you a better person because you are a part of this church? I asked them this question. Are you a better person because you are a part of this church? Unanimously around the table, your church board said, absolutely, I'm a better person. And I asked the follow-up question, why? Why are you a better person? And again, unanimously around the table, because of the people that I get to rub shoulders with because I'm a part of this community, the people I get to live life with. And it, I had this epiphany moment right there in that study when I realized that it's not simply about connecting people to each other through a community group, but any way that we as a church can help connect believers to each other so that they can live in fellowship with one another, that is a great win. And that if people who come through our doors here at Centerpoint can find fellowship, friendship, community, we are then accomplishing the fellowship portion of our vision as we live life together and we encourage each other in our walks. With that said, I not only want to thank all the community group leaders, I want to thank all our Sunday school teachers who are connecting people to each other, all those who teach on Wednesday nights who are helping to connect people to each other, Carolyn Novak, our women's ministry leader. Anywhere it's happening in the life of this church, we're intentionally connecting people to each other so that we can live life together. We're seeing the mission and the vision fulfilled. Amen, church? All right, with that appeal, I would say to you, if you're not in a community group and you want to be, please let us know. We want to help you get there. They're out there. They're making it happen, okay? One of the reasons I can tell you community groups are out there and they're making it happen is because two of them are responsible for feeding us today, right? So we're going to see great proof here in about 45 minutes of the fact that it's happening. But also along the way, I know that there are groups of people that are living life together, suffering together, rejoicing together, and that is something to give the Lord thanks and praise for this morning, that we can become more like Jesus because of relationships that we're in with other believers. Thanks be to God for that. Well, also, more like Christ in all of life through worship, through fellowship, and through service. And we're going to hear a couple of different things this morning. And when we talk about service, very quickly, Pastor Alyssa gave me 1 minute to do this, 1 minute to talk about service before I turn things over to Pastor Ryan. But here's the deal. I've said to you often that at the end of the day, as a church, we want to offer you opportunities to serve, bigger opportunities in the community, bigger opportunities right here in our building, ways to serve the community, ways to serve the world. We want to offer those. Swaziland mission trip registration forms due today. Get them in. So there are opportunities that we want to be throwing out there for you to take advantage of and be a part of, but one of the ongoing challenges that I've given you as a congregation is simply this. Don't wait for me as your pastor or your community group leader or Pastor Ryan or Travis or somebody else to come along and say, hey, you need to be out in the world. You need to be out serving. My challenge for you has been, if God has placed deep in your heart a cause, a demographic, a group of people, a local school, a local ministry, a parachurch organization, go and do that. Go serve in your community, in your world. Go have an impact. And maybe somewhere along the way, somebody will go, hey, why are you doing this? And then you have an open door to talk about Jesus Christ in your life and why you would give of your time or why you would give your money to go out into the world and to help others. Make it happen. And my hope would be for you that you make it happen out of a deep-seated passion that God has given you for a group of people or for a cause or for a ministry that's already happened out there. If we can help you get connected to some local places, that would be incredible. You can find resources on our website. You can talk to your pastoral staff. We've been going out once a month as a pastoral staff just to get to know some of these areas. Mustard Seed, Clean the World, Central Care Mission, things like that. We'd love to help you get connected. But also, along with some incredible local efforts we've been a part of throughout this past year, we've had an opportunity this past year to continue to reach out globally. I'm not kidding when I say a significant portion of our income as a church goes to global efforts, things that we'll never see on this side of heaven, ways that God is working on this side of heaven we'll never get to see. We just know that the seeds are being planted out there and God's working. And so as we come alongside folks like the Schmelzenbaughs and the Luke Commission in Swaziland, or the Applebee's in a creative access area. We have opportunities to have extensions of ourselves out in the world doing things in places that most of us will never, ever set foot on. And that is a reason to give thanks and praise to God. We're part of a generous congregation that is supporting and helping and mobilizing people literally all around the world. We're going to hear from them in just a minute, but two of these individuals that are out there that are making it happen, it's very excited to hear from here in just a moment. But I want to take just a second to introduce Joe and Beth Heath. Joe and Beth, will y'all stand up for us right there where you are? Give a wave to everybody. Put your hands together. Joe was on staff with us here at Center Point when I came here to be your pastor. And along the way, Joe was praying for life and future and relationship. And Joe, I don't want to speak out of turn, but it seems like God has been very faithful to you in your life, and he's giving you the desires of your heart. And we're thankful for that today. We're going to hear about some things that are going on locally this morning through Pastor Ryan and Pastor Travis. But then in just a little bit, we're going to turn the mic over to Joe and Beth so they can tell us what God is doing through their ministry on the South African field through the Church of the Nazarene. So one more time, put your hands together, show your love for the Heaths, and I welcome Pastor Ryan.
Good morning. The kids are so much louder than you guys. Good morning. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Claire. All right, I am Pastor Ryan, and I get the huge blessing to work with all of the children here at Center Point. And not to highlight myself, but within the past year, something that I love to celebrate is that I became the children's pastor here at Center Point. So not to highlight myself, but to highlight the leadership of this church and the vision of this church, to know that children are truly our next generation, that they are loved, and that they need to be brought up. And if we don't teach our children and we don't witness to them and we don't teach them, we wouldn't be sitting here in several years. So I'm very grateful for the church leadership at this church. I feel like the theme of our last year has been babies, babies and more babies. We had three babies born this last week in the life of our congregation to two mommies. And we have several more that are pregnant, and we've had so many new families and extra babies being born that we were able to open up another nursery room this past year. So very blessed to be able to continue to open up more rooms and grow as our families grow. Along with that, we have a new expectant family ministry, and we're partnering with our prime timers on that. And so we just want to make sure that we help take care of new families, especially those families that it's their first baby, and they get that baby home and they think, what did we just do? So, we want to help come alongside them. So if you are interested in helping in that new ministry, see my beautiful wife, Melissa. She will help get you plugged in there. This past year, we have tried to make an emphasis on family events, not just events where we come and drop off our children and Pastor Ryan and a few other fun adults get to watch them for a few hours, but family events where our families can come, they grow together, we all grow together because we're getting to know them and they get to connect with each other. So we've had several fun events like that. We've also started doing some family service events. We got together one day and we did blessing bags. We sent those to Nemours Hospital so that the kids that are in there for a long time, they are able to have some fun to color with. So we have some more of those opportunities coming up. We're going to be putting together some bags for the homeless, just hygiene products, different things that will help them, and our families can put them in their cars and pass those out when they see people. So we're very excited about that. This summer, we have camp and VBS coming up. I don't know if you all know, but I kind of love VBS. Thank you. Shelly's laughing because she helps me with all of that. It is such a great time, and I'm super excited for this year's VBS because all we are talking about is God's love, his everlasting love. And I just feel that it is so important that not only our kids hear that message, but the visitors that come in. We have so many people that attend our VBS that do not attend this church, and I don't know their backgrounds. We don't know where they're coming from. And I just feel that it is so important that they are hearing those true words spoken about God's love each and every night. So we are very, very excited for that coming up. Camp is going to be a great opportunity for our kids to connect with each other and connect with God. Our theme is Blueprint this year, and we're going to be building things. It's just going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, over the next year, we are going to continue our service efforts, and our Club 45ers have committed. That's our fourth and fifth graders on Wednesday nights. They've committed to serving outside of ourselves the first Sunday, or the first Wednesday night of every month. So we are very looking forward to doing that. This Wednesday night, we're going to be partnering with Publix to raise money for March of Dimes. And we are also going to be helping Deerwood Elementary right up the street. Very excited about our new partnership with them. And this summer, we're going to be doing a campus beautification project with them. So our Club 45ers are very excited about doing things, and they're really excited about getting out of the church. I think that's really what they're excited about most. But we would love to have you guys join us in that, so you'll hear more about that later. Another thing that has really been placed on my heart, maybe because I'm a parent, I don't know, but just being ways to, or having ways that can equip our parents. And one way that we're going to start that very quickly is through a brand new class. It's called Smart Money, Smart Kids, and Don and Debbie Myers are going to be leading that for us. It is a way to help teach your children. It goes along with Financial Peace University. So it's a way to help teach your children how they can be smart spenders, smart savers, smart givers. And it also, it doesn't just deal with money, but it deals with some character things and how they can just be a better Christ-like follower. So very excited about that. If you'd like to join us in that class, you can sign up with me or with Debbie. And last but not least, I just want to end with a story. I don't know if I'm over my 5 minutes. I'm sorry. In Children's Church, I find myself a lot of Sundays saying, you know, I know you have a relationship with God, and I know that we're talking about something, and all of you know that God loves you so much. And as soon as that comes out of my mouth, I think, what if there's a kid in here this morning that doesn't know that God loves them? What if there's a kid in here this morning that doesn't know that they can have that relationship with God and that he loves them so much and he has grace and mercy on us? And so I find myself having our lesson, what we've prepared for that day, and then I also say, but if you don't know that, please stay and don't go to your small group today and come talk to me. Well, this one particular morning, I had two children raise their hand and say that they wanted to stay with me. And I was like, yes. But in the back of my mind, I was saying, you know, I'm pretty sure we've had this talk before. I know that they know that God loves them. I know they've accepted Christ in their hearts. I know this. So I was kind of baffled. Why are they staying with me, you know? And so I got them in the room, and we started talking, and I just simply said, now, I know we've talked about this before. Are you wanting to rededicate your life to him? Or is something going on, and you feel like maybe you've lost that relationship with him? And they said, no, we're doing great. We love God. But they were very concerned about their family members that they know do not have a relationship with Christ. And it just warmed my heart because I thought, you know what? They're, at least these two are getting it. They're getting something. And I know that our children are back there. We get to have a lot of fun. We get to jump. I love doing motions when we worship. We play. We do crafts. But at the end of the day, we have children that are worried about their family members, their friends that do not know Christ, and they are wanting to share about their relationship and their love for Christ with other people. And so thank you so much for the opportunity you give me to do that, and thank you so much for all of you all that come alongside me and come alongside our kids each and every day. Thank you so much.
Uh-oh, the youth pastor has the mic, all right? Where are my youth at? Feeling good? Feeling good? I love it. Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Well, I'm very excited. Some cool things that have happened out of this past year. We started, basically the idea is that the youth ministry is not separate from the church. Amen? The youth ministry is part of the church, and so our vision flows right in line with the vision of the overall church. And so what we began to do is we began to encounter the passage that was going to be being preached that Sunday morning in Sunday school. And then as they came in here, they would hear the passage. And then ultimately, Wednesday night became an application of how do we put this into action? And how do we go out into our world and begin to live lives that are conducive to this? And one of the really cool things that kind of flowed out of that this past year came from some of our high school students is they began to meet in a coffee shop, and they just began to talk about God, talk about what God's doing in their life, talk about the word, talk about different things. And then what began to flow out of that is they began to invite other students to be a part of it. And then also what began to happen is people began to turn from their tables and hear what was being talked about. And ultimately, the gospel is being preached. Is that cool? And so, basically, one of the things that we're very adamant about is that mission happens not just here locally. It doesn't happen just out there, but it happens everywhere we go. It happens in our lives. It happens in our homes, in our schools, and that ultimately, as you begin to go to these places, you're living on mission for Christ, and that Christ can begin to to intersect the people's lives that you come into contact with. And so one of the things that I wanted to be very focused on is the idea that by the time a student leaves this youth group, they've encountered local missions, they've encountered domestic missions, and then also global missions. And so in the past, we've done Jamaica. This past summer, we were able to do a locally focused mission trip. And what we did, we focused on Christian Service Center, Clean the World, Food Share, that was down on Straight Street, Central Care Mission. We served here around the church and handed out bottles of water to the homeless downtown. And so all these different aspects of students began to see that no matter where they're at, they can begin to encounter God in a new way. They can spread the love of Jesus. And it was super cool to see the fellowship that began to happen and how people began to open themselves up. And then ultimately the fellowship that happened between the students and the growth that happened there was super cool. One of the things that we're going to be doing this summer is we're actually going to Nashville and we're partnering with Trevecca and we're going to be serving in all the different capacities there in Nashville. And so not only do they get to see the campus of Trevecca, but they also get to encounter other people from the region and ultimately live on mission. Amen. A couple other events that are super cool. We love going to teen camp. We're very intentional about the stuff that we do. Everything has purpose and meaning behind it. It's not just an event for an event's sake, but there's meaning and purpose. So as we go to teen camp, students are able to encounter the gospel, and it's very cool to see how those students that are on the outskirts begin to get pulled into the inside of the group and say, you're part of us, we're a family, we are one. And that's one of the things we're very focused on. We want people to know that we're a family, that we love everyone, everyone's accepted here and a part of the group. And so we've given a lot of opportunities throughout the year for students to step up as they've approached me and said, I'm gifted in this aspect. I want to be involved in this area. I believe God's gifted me here. We begin to put those into action. And what we've seen is tremendous growth in their own spiritual life and the lives of the other students. And so I'm very excited about this coming year. I believe God's doing incredible things. And I'm very thankful for those that have stepped up in leadership, whether on my youth staff or just student leaders that have said they want to live on mission for God. And so continue to pray for us, continue to pray for me as a leader and our other leaders, and I believe God's going to do amazing things over this next year. Amen. All right, let's welcome Joe and Beth Heath to the stage right now.
Good morning. It's good to be here today and to hear how God is working in Centerpoint Community Church of the Nazarene. It's good to hear we get to hear a lot about what's happening on our field, but it's good to hear how God is working here, how God is moving and changing lives. God doesn't just work and move and change lives in places out there. He's doing it right here, and it's so amazing to be a part of hearing how he is working. It's good to be back home. It's good to be back with family and to see old friends and also to see new faces. It's also good to be able to introduce everybody to our son, Peter. There are some pictures of Peter, and he makes friends wherever he goes. We say that Peter may be the best evangelistic tool that we have. We have conversations with people because of Peter that we would never have otherwise. And we are very, very blessed by him and blessed to be his parents.
Yes, as Beth mentioned, it's great to be back home. Our home is in South Africa. We live in Johannesburg and have set up our home there. Our son was born there, and it is where we live, but this is also home. And so it's to live in two worlds is sometimes a challenge, but it's also a blessing in many ways. And so we just wanted to share today a little bit about how you're helping us in the Africa South field, what Centerpoint is a part of. The Africa South Field is made up of five different countries: Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, South Africa, and Swaziland. We've had opportunity to travel now to all five of these countries and to visit the churches and the districts there. There are 23 different districts on the field, and so it's just gives us many opportunities to work with a variety of people there. There are over 750 churches, so that's a lot of churches. And there are more than 14 different languages spoken on the Africa South Field. Thankfully, English is one of them. So we don't have to try to learn a new language or speak with different clicks and different sounds that the Africans do. The Africa South Field is full of diversity. There's major cities, and then there's small villages. And, you know, just that diversity we see every day as we go throughout our journey and our travels. We work in the areas of mobilization, which is sending out and receiving volunteers, also coordinating work and witness teams, both receiving teams coming from the U.S. or Europe, and also sending teams out from within our field, teams to go from Africa to other parts of Africa. We help with teaching and training of our district superintendents, as well as teaching at the Nazarene Theological College in Johannesburg. I'm the field treasurer, and Beth's the field secretary, so we have administrative roles as well as our travels and ministry. Over the last 2 years, you've helped in supporting us in many ways, particularly in encouraging 6 different work and witness teams, attending 19 district assemblies and 1 regional conference, hosting 3 different new district superintendent trainings, teaching 3 different classes at Nazarene Theological College, supporting the Africa South Field in various ministry opportunities, supporting our travel and transportation needs as we minister throughout the field, the healthy arrival of Peter, our son, and much more.
We wanted to share with you a couple of stories because we know we connect in better with stories. We wanted to share with you a couple of stories of what you have been a part of because when you support us through your prayers and through your giving, you're a part of what God is doing. You're not just giving that and it's done. God uses what you've given and how you've prayed in mighty ways. One of the ways, we took a work and witness team to Botswana. And Botswana is a small country, or actually it's a big country, but not as many people. There are actually more cows and goats in Botswana than there are people. But we took a team to Botswana, and the team was ready, and they were planning on building a physical church. They thought they were coming and that they were going to be laying bricks. And we thought they were going to as well. And we worked hard with the district superintendent and the local pastor to make that happen. But God had other plans. The land tribunal in Botswana, in this specific village called Boka, would not approve the land transfer. The land was supposed to be a vineyard, and they would not allow the transfer of the deed for it to be a church. And so we were trying up until the day the team arrived. We were calling the DS. Has the land tribunal approved it or not? No. So we pick up the team, this team that is expecting to build a church. And they knew ahead of time that there had been some troubles, but they were still praying that they were going to build a church. And we said, okay, guys, guess what? You thought you were going to build a physical church, but you're going to come and do something so much more powerful. You're going to build the church. You're going to build the church through people. And so for 10 days, we connected with people. In the mornings, we would go out into the village and we would do home visits. For some, this was the first time they'd ever seen an American, and definitely the first time they'd ever had an American in their home. We also had, in the afternoons, we had kids programs. And the kids would come right after school. They would fill into our tent, and they would play games, and they would get loved on, just like they do here. And they would hear about God's love and how much God loved them and wanted to have a relationship with them. And then in the evenings, we would have revival services. And the same thing, people would hear that God loved them, that wanted to change their lives. And every night, people would come forward and accept Christ into their life. Before the team came, the church was meeting in a house. The church was meeting in the local pastor's house. And they had begun to outgrow the church building. By the time we left, they had to find another place to meet because they were too big for the church. And then not just, sometimes things happen and right after they leave, everybody's really excited, but then it dies off. But I can report now, almost a year and a half later, the church is still growing. They're so big now that they're meeting in a tent. And they're praying that the land tribunal will approve the land transfer so that they can build a church. But even while they're waiting, God is working and God is moving.
And I'm going to share a story about the House of Prayer Church of the Nazarene. House of Prayer Church, it's a vibrant church located in Durban, South Africa. It's focused on life-changing prayer. They wanted to put together a work of witness team, mostly with young people, much like here at Centerpoint. They wanted to go somewhere outside their comfort zone. And so we connected them with the Swaziland South District. It's a small district, but it's growing and it has a passion for planting churches and reaching the unreached. And so in December of last year, there was a team of 16 from the House of Prayer Church. They were mostly youth and or young adults that spent about 10 days serving on a work and witness trip in Swaziland South. They were involved in many things, including painting, helping to build classrooms, helping to build a temporary structure so a church would have a place to meet. They were involved in compassionate ministries, evangelism, many evening prayer services, and a kids' outreach sports day. There are many great stories of the way God worked and moved through this team. The House of Prayer Church is located in an Indian community with strong Muslim influences. Shortly before the trip, a young man began attending the House of Prayer Church. His name is Nazim. When Nazim heard about the opportunity to go and be part of something greater, he felt called to join. The team welcomed him and as he began to go and pray about going. He shared the news of this trip with his friends and family. A few days before the team was to leave, he was forcibly detained in his house by some of his family members. This part of his family was Muslim, and they did not want him to go and be part of this such of a trip. They would not let him leave his house. His situation got out to the church through some of his other family members, and they began to pray for him. Nazim was never in any danger of harm, but he was also not free to do what God was calling him to do. The day before the team, God answered their prayers, and through the other family members, Nazim was able to leave his house and to be a part of the trip. He was able to be a part of what God was doing and to serve God as he was calling him to do. Even though the team was less than 10 hours away from their home, they saw and experienced new things. They had to get their passports and other documents to travel to another country. They were challenged to do things that they hadn't or didn't want to do before. They were stretched and molded to be more like Christ because of the opportunities and openness to connect with others. Both the House of Prayer Church and the Swaziland South District were moved by the experiences and blessed by God.
One of the other exciting things that Joe and I get to be a part of, and it isn't anything that has to do with anything Joe or I have done, but the people of the Africa Southfield are beginning to respond to God, not beginning to, they're continuing to respond to God's call to go. The House of Prayer team is just one example of people from Africa Southfield that are saying, we want to be a part of what God is doing. Responding to God's call to go doesn't have to just look like people from other countries coming to us. We want to be a part of the going. And so one of the awesome things that has come out of this trip between the House of Prayer Church and the Swaziland South District is that now they are teaming up together. So the House of Prayer Church and the entire Swaziland South District are coming together, and in next September or October, they're going to form a team and they're going to go to Lesotho. So in the same way that you guys are preparing to go, you're raising funds, you're preparing to take a trip, you're getting your passports, you're finding out what shots you have to take, the people of the Africa Southfield are doing the exact same thing. And they're going to go and they're going to minister to the Lesotho district. That is another small and struggling district. And they're going to be a part of changing the world and changing their lives and the lives of those they will come in contact with. And it's just amazing that we get to be a small part of that. And by us getting to be a small part of that, you are also a small part of that. We get to be a small piece of the puzzle of what God is doing, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of all of those we come in contact with, whether we come in contact with them on a daily basis or just on a one-time basis on a trip. And it's just amazing for us to be a small part of that. And we want to thank you for also being a small part of that.
Yes, we'd like to encourage you to continue to be a part of what God is doing in the Africa South Field. We did bring our some new prayer cards today, so you can take home our picture. Most importantly, people want a picture of Peter, so he's on there as well. And just ask that you put it somewhere where you see it regularly so you could pray for us and pray for how God is using us on the Africa South Field. We do thank you for your support for us and our family, our extended family. And also your support for the global church, for the global missionaries, There are over 800 missionaries around the world, and we are privileged to be just a part of that, a part of what the Church of the Nazarene is doing globally. And we'll be happy to come back as often as we can and to continue to share with you. And we are on Facebook. Peter's on Facebook more than we are. Again, we encourage you to come and talk with us at the lunch today. We'd love to share and talk with you more. So thank you so much.
Joe and Beth will be around after service. I know many of you are friends with them and would love to chat. They do have a reserve table outside for just them and their family, though. So speak to them, but don't take any of the seats at their table. Right, Joe? Well, we wanted to highlight some things today as it relates to the service aspect of our mission and our vision. And a lot has happened in this past year. And as we look ahead, there are things that are coming up. Pastor Ryan mentioned our summer campus beautification project at Deerwood and mission trips that are coming up both for our Club 45ers and our teens. Two Swaziland trips that are coming up. It's not too late to get your deposits in and your applications in for those trips. So if you have questions about those for February of 2017 or July of 2017, please speak to me. And we'll continue to see opportunities as we have in this past year of ways of getting beyond the four walls of this church. And we're going to take advantage of those opportunities. Every family should have received one of these reports when you came in this morning. And on the front of that is a letter from me. Again, I just want to echo thanks to all the people who make it happen here at Centerpoint. I made a little joke this morning in our pre-worship meeting that didn't go over too well with the band and the praise team. But I can't do this without you. And we can't do this without each other. It takes a lot of people to make it happen day in and day out in the life of the church. And so, first of all, thanks to my beautiful wife, Marley. I love her so much. She doesn't have one of these in hand because I'm the family member who has it. So I'm going to read this. I do want to thank Marley for her ongoing love and support for me, our ministry together, and Centerpoint. She is a compassionate includer of people that wants to see others come to know and experience the love Jesus has for them, and this is most often expressed through service toward others. I cannot thank the Lord enough for bringing her into my life. I am a better person, father, and pastor because of her. Thank you, Marley. And thanks for loving us as your pastoral family. We feel loved and supported, and we are very blessed to be journeying with all of you. So thank you, Centerpoint. Thanks to my pastoral staff, our support staff that make it happen. I tell you this often, there's a whole lot that goes on in the life of this building and on this campus day after day and week after week. Countless hours that are spent making this place to be poised and ready for whatever's coming next. So you can see our staff and our support staff on the back lower half of the annual report. Take a moment in the days ahead to thank these folks, wrap your arms around them, love them, give them a hug, punch them in the arm, whatever. We're glad to be serving alongside of you and know that we couldn't do it without each other. I've mentioned our community group leaders and various ministry leaders, but also our church board, and really anybody who in any capacity makes it happen. The smallest act of service through the life of the church is pushing us towards our mission and our vision, and we don't take that for granted. When you open up your report, you'll see some numbers and some figures that go along with, first of all, some of the traditional markers of the life of the church, things like attendance and money and all that kind of stuff. You can look at those numbers. Thanks be to God, we're growing in those areas, and we're continuing to move forward together. Continue to just ask what part you have to play in all this, and you can see a breakdown of fellowship and service hours and things like that. And and then on the back, you have a lovely letter from Kristen Idiels, our finance chair. So thanks so much, Kristen, for your service throughout this past year. But I want to just very quickly just draw just a couple of links. I know we have a picnic waiting on us outside and some beautiful weather. But I want to draw a couple of links because here's the thing. One of the temptations in the world we live in today is to plant a seed and to immediately see growth. And I want to tell you, it doesn't happen like that in the life of ministry, in the life of the church. When you commit yourself to ministry, whether you're a paid staff member of a church or you're just simply trying to be faithful to what God's called you to be, you go out and you plant seeds, okay? And the story that Jesus gives us of the farmer who was planting seeds, only about 20% of that seed actually took root and began to grow. And more often than not, we don't actually see the growth that comes from the 20% of the seed that actually takes root. In other words, God is up to a whole lot more than we're ever actually going to see or experience in light of our efforts of Christian ministry and going on His behalf. But we're called to be faithful to plant seeds nonetheless. And so here's the deal. This report is not my report to you. It's not the church board's report to you. This is a report of us as a church and our efforts over the last year, trusting that there's a whole lot more at work in here than simply what a little person or a dollar figure can communicate. God's making it happen in ways that we can't even imagine. And I want to share with you a couple of things. You know, we had our district roundtable just not too long ago. And the DS asked, he said, can you share one win with us in the life of the church? Is there one thing that you would point to by way of saying, hey, this is our win? And I couldn't just highlight one thing to our district roundtable and say, yeah, here's the one thing that we want to celebrate as a church. So I broke the rules and I shared several things. And just very quickly, we lost a beautiful pastoral family this year in the People's Family, and we want to continue to pray for and encourage them. Along the way, though, we were able to bring Pastor Ryan on full time as our children's pastor. And Ryan, we're glad to have you journeying with us on this. We're glad to have the Martins with us on our pastoral staff. That was a win for us in the life of the church. And then we move on and we think about other things that are going on. Right now, Franco Lezameda is up in the booth doing translation for us in Spanish. Okay, it's the first time. It's the first time, at least since I've been here, that we've been able to reach out to that population, Spanish speakers, in such a way that they can come in and hear the service in their first language. And we're thankful for that, and we're glad to have that in place. But we have a lot of work to do now in the future to be faithful to reach out to our Spanish-speaking population, of which about 50% of our community is. And so we're going to continue to move forward. And that's a win for us along the way. One of the highlights that I mentioned earlier was this idea that this past fall I was able to go to Central Care Mission, and God taught me a lesson throughout this past year, and it was simply this: don't do ministry alone. Okay, doesn't matter what you do in the life of the church or in the life of the community, take somebody with you, go together and grow together as you go and you love and you serve. And so God put it on my heart, take some men from Centerpoint with me, and they did. Six men went with me every Thursday night to Central Care Mission as we taught about forgiveness, and then eventually they shared their testimonies. And that time of going transitioned from us being a blessing and a presence at Central Care to God answering prayers through the life of our group and God connecting us to the men of Central Care. And it was a great thing. That was a win for me over this past year. Also, though, we got to have a beautiful baptism service not too long ago. And I want you to just see something with me as I was looking through some pictures several weeks ago. Emma Larkins was baptized on that day. You see her face right there? Big old smile. Who else we have in there? This is Nick Larkins. He's got a smile and he's got two thumbs up as Nick is coming out of the water. Katie Piper, big old smile on her face. This is London Bernal, big old smile on her face as she's coming up out of the water. Natalia Sparrow, I love it here because she's not smiling at me. She's smiling at her dad who was standing there beside her as she came out of the water. I was looking at these pictures several weeks ago, and it occurred to me that the life that God calls us to should bring joy to our hearts. I don't think it's a mistake that these people came out of the baptism waters and they had smiles on their faces. And there's this posture that I believe as believers we should have as we go out into the world, and it is a one of joy. The writer Gary Chapman, in his book Covenant Marriage, he said, don't put the grumpy old man on your visiting team, right? Here's what he said it looks like. Hi, I'm Jim. Don't you want to come to church and be as miserable as I am? Right? You see, this life that God calls us to is this life of joy that should be expressing itself to the people around us, to the world around us, and that the work that we're called to do is one that we do enjoy with one another. When you look at this, report, you see a lot of figures and numbers and words and all that kind of stuff, but there are people's lives that are linked to all of these. One of the blessings for me over this past year was to baptize a young lady for whom we came in contact with her family for the first time when they came through the front doors for Gift of Hope. And Gift of Hope was not a ministry idea of mine. It wasn't facilitated by me. It was facilitated through the lives of people at Center Point Church. And this family that was referred to us through the local school then found themselves in here and found people who loved them. And this wasn't this past year that they wandered through these doors. This was 2 years ago. And so 2 years later, we got to experience and share in that baptism together. It's just one of the subtle ways that God is at work on his time frame through his people beyond anything that our agenda can contain. Amen. Well, the hope is that we're going to continue to move forward together. And I'm convinced of this, church. At the bottom of your report there in my letter, it simply says this. It says, the Great Commission is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago when Christ gave it to his disciples. And in the same way that he sent his disciples to Jerusalem and to Samaria and to the world around them, God has very specifically sent us to Orlando, Florida in the year 2016 and beyond to figure out how to most faithfully communicate and show the love of Christ to the world around us. That's the work we have to do. And I'm convinced that that will happen most effectively as we are faithful in the smallest of things in our own lives, and in the life of the church. And for those that are faithful in the small things, God will entrust greater things. So my appeal to you today on this Celebration Sunday is, church, continue to be faithful in the small things. Whatever that means for you in your life, in your family, in your home, in your walk, be faithful in the small things. And we'll trust that the Lord is going to continue to use us in the world.